It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back. It is Fade the Chalk on a Friday here. Usually the DFS game-by-game episode is on Thursday, but it's been a crazy week, so we have it here on Friday. But don't worry, breaking down every game like we usually do. Again, Fade the Chalk, presented by the FTN Network. My name is Adam Pfeiffer. A little bit under the weather this week, but the show must go on. And to continue the show, have terrific friend of not just the podcast, but colleague, friend in general. It's Chris Meany. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Meany. He's doing, I don't know, everything. He's got Mean Streets, obviously, every day. His incredible show. Hockey's right around the corner, so I'm sure he's in a great mood. Meany, thanks for coming on, as always. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Pfeiffer, what's going on, man? Yeah, always a pleasure to join you on this podcast. It's the best podcast going, dude. Yeah, we're going to break down everything from a DFS standpoint. It is busy, man. It's anybody who knows, if you're just a football fan, but if you're a sports fan in general, like, October is jam-packed. You got baseball playoffs, NBA has tipped off, like, the preseason. The NHL is going to get underway here in a couple days. We got a draft kit live. Eric Young is part of the FTN fam. Him and I are going to have a show twice a week, talking some NHL bets and some DFS, and take care of those, you know, who play some season-long. You got Kyle's brand new show, The Optimal, which is super cool. It's a free show, just kind of breaking down our awesome optimizer and, you know, just taking a look at the early chalk for the week and, you know, who he's feeling, who he's going to avoid. That's pretty cool. A lot happening, man. Like, the early bird, I know you're a big NBA guy. Like, you must be excited, man. Like, it just comes here before you know it, right? You're amped and you're getting ready for football, and then you're all of a sudden it's week five, and then boom, like, every other sport is happening right now too. So it's great to be here with you, and it's just a great month in general, man. You're right. I am fired up about a little hockey and just being here in general.
Yeah, man. I'll have to get your take, because, like, I'm waiting for the Flyers to get back in the playoffs, and, like, I know they were in a couple years ago, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's funny too, because I'm pretty sure I told you this before, but, like, when I first started doing, you know, sports writing and all this stuff, the first thing I ever did was actually cover the Philadelphia Flyers when I was, like, right out of high school. That's awesome. Which, okay, you can make a joke, was last year, whatever, we get it. So yeah, like, hockey's always great. It's a great time of year. Like you said, you have hockey, we have, you know, hockey packages, you're doing a bunch of articles for NHL. Like you've mentioned, the NBA package, you get, you know, everything, right? You get the projections, the tools, the articles, roster percentages. You know, I'll be doing live streams with Joe Metz and Steph and Zach Graham and Eddie Fear. Like, it's just ridiculous time to be a part of FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. And we're also still giving away a trip to Vegas. You can go to Vegas, go watch a Raiders Washington football team game. You know, hotel, flight, like, everything is taken care of by FTN. All you have to do, if you're subscribed to an FTN package or membership, you're automatically entered. And certain packages have more tickets you can get. So check that out. It's on the homepage of FTN Fantasy. Again, you can win a trip to Vegas. It's not just for the Raiders game, obviously, which is going to be fun, but the entire atmosphere, you know, the hotel, all that great stuff. It's just a way of FTN appreciating everybody that supported the site and subscribed and all that great stuff.
Man, dude, are you kidding me with that? Like, Vegas, like, that's on the bucket list for me. I went to a Golden Knights game a couple of years ago, and the atmosphere was absolutely
How sick. Are they so good, by the way? Like, that quickly?
Yeah, I think just, you know, with Seattle, the expansion draft that just happened, I think a lot of teams learned from their mistake of just giving away players a couple of years ago. Like, I don't know. They just, a lot of teams mismanaged. Like, for example, a couple of times, they got Alex Tuch. They got a bunch of guys basically for free. And then this time around, Seattle was a little conservative and teams were as well, you know, with the expansion. But you're right. I mean, the Golden Knights are this good. They've had so much success in a very small sample. But, man, just to go to Allegiant Stadium, I think, would be crazy. And we can get into, I mean, we'll get into that game a little bit later on. But what I watched last week, I mean, Chargers fans don't travel too well. I mean, it was a home game for them. But, you know, I know a lot of people make jokes at Chargers fans and just the lack of, but I mean, Cleveland going in there this week, going into LA this week will be a lot of fans. But last week I noticed, man, Raiders Nation is just excited, right? They're amped up. the home games there have been absolutely lit. And just to go there, and that's on the bucket list for me, just to go there and to check that out, it would be super entertaining. So, yeah, you're right. It's the airfare. It's the tickets to the game. It's hotel. It's much more. All you have to be is all you have to do is be subbed. I mean, the more that you are, like if you have a diamond package or you have NFL bets or NFL DFS, anything like that. I mean, hockey, you get more tickets, right? And just get a better chance of winning this package. But dude, I mean, looking forward to hearing about the experience of whoever wins this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to this week five NFL slate, it is a very interesting one, right? You have, I mean, first of all, you have no Chiefs, no Bills. Both those teams play on Sunday Night Football. The Seahawks and Rams played last night in one of the wildest, weirdest, craziest games I've watched in a while. And then you also have, you know, the Ravens on Monday Night Football off the main slate. Plus, there's a London game. So, a very weird slate. We'll start with New England at Houston. This game, kind of straightforward. For me, like, there's really two plays, maybe three, that stand out. And they're honestly all on the New England side, right? I really like the price tag on Damian Harris. Yes, they, you know, throw last game out the window like most games for running backs you should probably do, right? I mean, they clearly had no intentions of running the football up the middle against Tampa Bay. But with James White now out for the season and J.J. Taylor doing nothing to carve out a larger role other than fumbling, and we'll see if Ramondre Stevenson's finally, you know, an active player for this team. I mean, Damian Harris actually set a career high in routes run on Sunday night against Tampa Bay. He's 5,500 on DraftKings against a Houston team that leads the NFL in missed tackles. They are, we have FTN advanced rushing stats, yards allowed off, you know, trucking, which is pretty much yards allowed when there's, you know, multiple defenders trying to tackle a running back. So they're not a very good tackling team, clearly. That's good for Damian Harris. They also, have allowed seven rushing touchdowns from inside the 10-yard line. That's the most in the NFL. So this sets up really well for Damian Harris. Plus New England, even though on the road, I think they're like 8 or 9 point favorites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Massive favorites. I love this call as well. I like him, you know, a little bit more on FanDuel. If you're a FanDuel player, you can definitely feel good about playing him. You don't got to worry about, you know, half a point for a catch. It's a better setting for Harris over there. But I agree with you, man. I think you just take the last couple of weeks, like you said, and just throw him out the window, right? Not only did he play Tampa Bay, but he played the Saints the week before that, and they started the game 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, and he was just kind of an afterthought. But you're right. I wanted to bring up that as well, is maybe not a guy who's going to fall into three or four targets, but I mean, he's got back-to-back games with two targets, and he did run a lot of pass routes, like you said, without James White in there. So I think you can look at week one against Miami, where he had 23 carries and 100 yards, and then week two against the Jets, where he had 16 carries and 62 yards, not as efficient. But I think that's the kind of usage he's going to be able to get here in a game that New England's going to be able to control. I like him quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think
15 carries seems like a stone lock with plenty of upside for more. And then the other player is Jakobi Meyers, who, I mean, I don't want to guarantee you're going to get some passing production from him each week, but this is a little wrinkle here because he's a former quarterback. They ran a couple trick plays, but he had 45 passing yards last week, but the targets are what you're looking for, right? Double-digit targets in back-to-back games. He's now averaging just over 10 targets per game on the season. I mean, dating back to the end of last season, like, this has been one of the most targeted players in the NFL very quietly. Fair price tag at 5,600. I mean, he's probably going to get at least 8 targets again. I like Jakobi Meyers. And then if I'm not spending up at tight end, which, again, it's really Waller and then not much else. Kittle's banged up. Hockenson's banged up and has been bad the last couple games. I don't hate Jonnu Smith, and it's literally matchup-based. I mean, his routes have not been great compared to Hunter Henry's as of late, but he scored last week. Both tight ends scored. They're still both going to be heavily involved in the offense. And the Texans are so bad against tight ends, dude. Like, they've given up a touchdown in two straight games of tight ends. And, yeah, I think Baltimore's given up, like, more fantasy points. But look at Baltimore's schedule, dude. They faced Hockenson, Kelsey, Waller. Like, they faced some of the best tight ends in football, whereas Houston the last couple weeks, you look at who they've faced, right? They've given up, you look at their schedule, the second most fantasy points of tight ends, but they've also faced Dawson Knox, who, yeah, he's clearly like a top 12 tight end, but like that's the best tight end they faced, right? Chris Manhert scored in week one. Tommy Tremble got him in week two, and then Dawson Knox last week. So this is quietly a really good spot for Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry. I would just lean towards whoever's cheapest, and that's Jonnu Smith at 3,300 compared to Henry at 3,700.
Yeah, I get that. I do like Henry a little bit more. I've just noticed, you know, over the past couple weeks, he has been more involved. I mean, 9 grabs, 11 targets in his last 2 weeks. He found the end zone last week. And it's not too much, but he's given fantasy owners at least, I mean, we're talking DFS here, but at least 6 fantasy points in each of his first 4 games. I you know, heading into this season, I like Jonnu more, and he's had a couple drops. And, you know, I think 2 weeks ago against the Saints, he was in the doghouse a little bit for that tip pass that turned out to be a pick 6. But I think either of these guys, if you're playing multiple lineups, it does make sense maybe to drop down, save yourself $400 on DK for Jonnu. But I like I said, man, I really do like Hunter Henry. I'd noticed he's getting targeted inside the route in the red zone. He's playing more snaps. He's running more routes. But yeah, you're right about this matchup. I mean, even James O'Shaughnessy had a career day against this Texans defense in week one. He caught 6 passes for 48 yards. And you mentioned Tremble and Dan Arnold there too. I mean, it was his first game with the Jags. But he was involved there a little bit. Actually, I think he was playing with Carolina in that game before he got traded. But It's a good spot. And Jacoby Myers, man, he's interesting. It's crazy. He has never had a receiving touchdown in the NFL. I mean, we're only 33 games in, but he's thrown 2 passes. as you mentioned, you know, a former quarterback there. But he has been...
His floor has been so good. So if he gets a receiving touchdown, he's going to absolutely smash.
Yeah. I mean, 41 targets here. You look at the air yards. You look at the target share. It's healthy. 25%, 32% of his team's air yards. He's got great hands. Yeah, he's an underrated player, dude. I think that they run the football a lot here, but Mac Jones will pass it to him a few times.
For Houston, it's been and continues to be in season-long DFS. Doesn't matter. Brandon Cooks or bust. But for me, I'm completely off Brandon Cooks. Combination of, sure, you can spin the narrative of Bill Belichick taking away the other team's top player, and it's not even close who Houston's top player on offense is. But for me, it's more so, have you watched Davis Mills play? Have you seen Belichick's track record against rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah.
And then J.C. Jackson's probably going to shadow Brandon Cooks in this game. Right. For me, I don't have a single Houston player on my radar. Again, if it were to be anybody, it would be Brandon Cooks, and that's it. Anthony Miller's actually played pretty well for them, and then they're like, you know what? He's playing too well. We're trying to lose. We got to cut him.
I thought maybe he'd be interesting, and you and I are in a deep dynasty league. I think I have him in that one. I'm in a 16-team dynasty league. It gets super thin. I'm like, Anthony Miller, he was pretty impressive playing in the slot. He got rid of Randall Cobb. Maybe this was part of it. Let's see if this guy can get some playing time. And then if he can't make it in Houston, I mean, good luck.
11 targets the last 2 weeks. You think, okay, he's carved out a role, and this team's going to be trailing a lot. And they're like, you know what? Danny Amendola's out. He's been producing a little bit too much in his absence. And it's weird because the Texans at one point were like, you know what, slot receiver, let's just rack him up, and Anthony Miller's cut. But I'm assuming it's unless you like Brandon Cooks more than I do, it's nobody from Houston that stands out.
I don't. Yeah, New England. I mean, they're second in pass DVOA. Like, it's just a pass for me.
All right, let's go to a more interesting game: Detroit at Minnesota. Got to keep an eye on Dalvin Cook here. I mean, he clearly came out. He hasn't practiced back to back Wednesday or Thursday. We'll see about Friday. He has not sounded like he's going to miss this game. He's talked about how he literally admitted himself, he is not 100%, but he intends to play. That scares me a little bit because we saw last week he didn't play much of the fourth quarter or the second half with the ankle injury. That's clearly bothering him. The matchup is great, right? I mean, Detroit just allowed like 120 yards and 2 touchdowns in 3 quarters to David Montgomery, and then Damian Williams got them for like 50, 60 yards and a touchdown. The matchup is incredible, and assuming Dalvin Cook is active, yeah, I'm going to sprinkle him into some tournament lineups because we'll see if we have McCaffrey on the slate. It's possible, but I'd be lying if I said I was a little bit worried.
To play Cook? Yeah, I'm not interested, to be honest with you. I'm more interested in this passing game. I think a bounce back spot here for Kirk Cousins. I mean, I really like Justin Jefferson too, but you look at last week with Cousins, he was 20 for 38, 203 yards, 52% completion rate. That was like clearly his worst. Let's give Cleveland some credit, right?
What a weird game that was.
It was a weird game because did you see the way he started? Perfect. I think he was 6 for 6 on the opening drive.
Yeah, both teams had like long opening drives. Yeah. And it's like, okay, they're both scoring. It took up a lot of time, but there's going to be a lot of points in this game. And then that stopped after that.
Cleveland just kind of plays that, right? They do a really good job of just slowing the pace down, killing the clock. They rely on their defense. They run the football so well. And then before you know it, it's like, holy crap, the entire quarter is gone. I mean, they had, I think, an 18 or 19 play drive. Like, they stalled a bunch in the red zone. There were some penalties. So they had a ton of plays inside the five. They ended up finding the end zone with Kareem Hunt. But I think this is a bounce-back spot for Cousins. He was above 73% in his completion rate in each of his first three games. He had 8 touchdowns, no picks. Detroit, 10.6 passing yards per attempt, which is the highest mark in the NFL. It's absolutely brutal. And who have they played? Like, Jimmy, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields for a little bit there. A-Rod lit him up in the second half of one game. But this is a good spot, I think, for him to get right. And I know you like Justin Jefferson. I mean, who doesn't like Justin Jefferson? This guy has been, he's come with such a safe floor, Pfeiffer, like 5 grabs, 65 yards in every game. Like, that's the floor. 11 of his last 12 games, he's had at least 5 grabs and 65 yards, and he's top 70 in 10 of 12, 7 targets in every game, 9 and 3 of 4, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, Bobby Price. But they can move him up all over the field, and I don't think it will really matter. I mean, they do a good job of that anyways. You can line him up right, left, play a little slot, even mix up Thielen in there a bit. I like a mini stack. I think Cook would be the contrarian play, I suppose, but I'm just not doing it. I'm not totally interested. I've seen him on the sidelines a couple times. Madison could get sprinkled in. I think Cousins throws like 3 touchdowns in this game.
I agree. I am more interested in Cousins in the passing game. Thielen, we know, is the touchdown scorer, but he's been under 50 yards now in 3 of 4 games, which if you look back since when Jefferson really broke out last year. Once Jefferson broke out, Thielen's yardage was really underwhelming. Like, he's going to have, like, I would say Adam Thielen is inside the top 10 among receivers you'd project to score a touchdown each week. But if he doesn't, you're looking at 45, 50 yards, which is not good. Right. Still, though, they both line up on the right side of the formation plenty, like 30 to 40% of the time. And that's where the Lions have really struggled. According to our advanced DVP tool, Detroit, 94.8 receiving yards per game to receivers on the right side of the formation, second most in the NFL. So I think it's a great spot for both. But yeah, Jefferson's clearly the preferred play here. He's actually was in my first initial build. So I'm with you. I love Jefferson, Cousins. Again, if you're looking for a cheap tight end, I don't hate Tyler Conklin at $3,500. He's played better the last 2 weeks, and the Vikings have rewarded him with more playing time and routes. And he's quietly had, you know, 14 targets the last 2 weeks. So you could do worse than Tyler Conklin. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll see with Dalvin Cook. If he's, again, we're recording this early on Friday, so I doubt we'll have practice reports for the Vikings before we get out of this. But if he's somehow inactive, Madison had, what, 32 touches in his start this year. You would just lock him in as an elite play. Really not much else to say about that. For Detroit, we get word from Dan Campbell last week that you're going to see more DeAndre Swift. And then Jamal Williams has a season-high 14 carries. DeAndre Swift, who, you know, maybe the groin, he's been limited in practice all year with a groin, but he's still going to play. Swift only has 8 carries. But he ran 33 pass routes to Jamal Williams' 5. And Detroit is going to be behind more often than not, probably in this game as well. Swift has seen 6, 7, 5, and 11 targets in 4 games. 6,100 on a site like DraftKings, like, you don't need him to have 15 carries. He can have, you know, the, I guess not anymore, but the 2018-2019 Alvin Kamara usage where he gets 12 carries and 8 catches. That's in his range of outcomes.
He kind of reminds me of, yeah, a little Kamara or an Eckler from like a couple years ago when they just kind of bursted onto the scene. And what he does through the air is obviously, you know, the upside and what he can bring. I mean, he's second among backs and targets and catches and yards, 29 targets. Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, you see the questionable tag there and you see last week with 8 carries, people probably are not willing to spend their money on him and roll him out. But in a game where I think this cruises over the total, I mean, we have a 49-point total here. Detroit has kind of hung around with some teams this year. They've fought back late in games, even when they're down, like, you know, multiple scores. So Swift is going to be on the field catching balls out of the backfield. So that is really where you get the value. You mentioned him running all those routes. So I think we could project, if, like, I'm projecting touches and opportunities for him, like, at least 15. Like, carries plus targets. Like, he's at least getting 15, I think, in this spot, even with, you know, the down week. But we'll see. Like you said, practice reports are huge, but he was limited yesterday, so that's a pretty good sign that he was able to get on the field and get going. But yeah, he's one Detroit player, that's it.
Yeah, he's gonna play. He's been limited every week. He's gonna play
weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. There are certain situations and certain players where, like, you just throw practice reports out the window. Like, maybe this is a bad example because he's literally injured, but, like, in the past, AJ Brown has been not practicing Wednesdays, and yeah, like, Wednesday's a veteran day for a lot of these guys who have dealt with injuries in the past. So, but yeah, I agree. Like, 6,100, I'm still very interested in Swift. I mean, Hockenson, Detroit's quietly throwing to the receivers a little bit more lately, right? Like, yeah. Amon Ra had a breakout quote unquote game last week. I'm not willing to go to him at 3,500 when there's a ton of value in the slate, but as somebody who loves Amon Ra St. Brown, that's nice to see. You know, they're still without Tyrell Williams, so Khalif Raymond has been kind of a thing lately.
Been interesting. He has been. I hate to suggest him, but don't you think this game is going to creep up to that 50-point mark? Like, somebody's got to catch a few passes here. It can't all be Swift. And what I've noticed is teams are really focusing in on Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Like, the past 2 weeks.
Vikings corners have been really bad, too. I know Peterson's been, like, exposed a couple times. To be fair, though, it's been Jamar Chase and DK Metcalf who...
Sure.
One of those receivers is already a superstar. Jamar Chase is trending that way.
He's
so,
on his way. Yeah.
And Raymond's not cheap. Like, he's not expensive. But now, after two productive games and he scored two touchdowns last week, he's 4,800 on DraftKings. Like, there's receivers that I like a lot more than him.
I agree. Yeah.
But it is interesting that they're throwing to the receivers more, where the first couple weeks it was Swift, Jamal Williams, and Hockenson getting, like, 65% of the targets.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, once we get through this, you're going to hear a few names that are in around Raymond's price. It's like, yeah, how can I play this guy?
Yeah, including a receiver that I've been super high on all offseason that broke out in week four. So,
oh, baby.
Very hype about that. Do you have any interest in Hockenson? He's been a little bit banged up in practice right now with, I believe it is a knee.
I think it's a knee, yeah.
Was limited yesterday.
I don't really, and that may be a mistake because, like I said, I do, like, when I'm picking Mean Streets here on later on in the day and I'm giving three totals, like, this is one of my favorite totals. I do think we get over 50 here, so maybe I need to have more Hockenson in my life. I mean, there's no Kittle. Knox has been a guy that I've played, or there's no Kelsey. Knox has been a guy that I've played lately. When we get to, Waller, and it's just, like, there's such a huge gap here. So I suppose if I'm into that second, third tier, and I'm going back and forth between a Kittle and a Goddard and a Fant, I would, you know, Hockenson's my favorite kind of in that range, in that 5K range, but it's either Waller for me, or I'm really just punting and looking for value at the tight end position.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to a very interesting game here. New Orleans at the Washington football team. Let's talk about the Alvin Kamara usage this season. He has now set career highs in carries in back-to-back games. It was 24 in week 3, then he went up to 26 last week. Obviously, the talk of Twitter and fantasy Twitter, first time in his career he did not register a single target. And then Matt Jones, who does a ton of great content for FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, literally like 20 minutes before we hopped on the podcast, comes across my Twitter timeline that Alvin Kamara, according to our data, and Matt Jones does a ton of that data, he tweets it out, Alvin Kamara leads the NFL in carries up the middle, which is just weird. Like, we've not seen them use Alvin Kamara in this way. But obviously, no Michael Thomas. Drew Brees isn't there anymore, so their offense is shifting. Their defense prior to last week has been playing pretty well. And then Jameis Winston, during his time in Tampa, different offense and everything, was always among the league leaders in pass attempts on a given week, on a given season, whatever. He was airing it out 40 times a game. He's averaging less than 22 pass attempts per game this year. So, again, like, Alvin Kamara's usage, I said this many times, it's not necessarily bad, it's just different. And now at 8,600, is Alvin Kamara going to see zero targets again? I would be shocked if he saw zero targets in the game the rest of the season. I really would. But we have to start viewing him a little bit differently compared to, like we talked about with DeAndre Swift, where in the past, Kamara was a 12 to 14 carry running back getting 7 or 8 targets a game. Now he's getting 20 carries. He's had 20 carries dating back to last season in 5 of his last 7 games now. Like, this is a clear shift. What do you make of Alvin Kamara here? The matchup is great. Washington just got absolutely destroyed by Cordarrelle Patterson. Granted, I think they were all 3 receiving touchdowns at wide receiver, but their defense as a whole has been just a tremendous letdown this year. What are we doing with Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, man, Kamara's interesting, right? I mean, you just talked about a lot of that. I mean, he just had his 4th 100-yard game ever, and he's had 3 in the 80s.
I told Debro that, and I was heard Mets that on Sunday night, and we were both shocked.
I mean, I was looking into it, too, a little bit deeper since, you know, really his first NFL start. I mean, so he just had his 4th 100-yard game. He's got 3 games this year in the 80s. He only has 1 season of his 4 where he's had more than 3 games in the 80s, and it was last year. And you mentioned towards the end of the season when his usage started to change just a little bit. But here we are heading into week 5, and he's got 10 grabs, which is tied for 26th among running backs. He's got 62 receiving yards, which is tied for 35th among running backs as well. I mean, he was tied with Travis Homer, who had a garbage time catch last week. So he has more receiving yards than Alvin Kamara. I mean, Felton has more. Bolden has more. Jusic has
more. I tweeted
it. It's so crazy. It's crazy.
Trayvon Diggs has 5 catches this year, and Kamara has 10. It's kind of weird.
Oh, jeez. But yeah, I mean, 26 carries, 20-plus in 2 weeks. He's averaging 74 rushing yards, which is a career high, but his 3.8 yards per carry is a career worst. He's really on pace for... he's on pace for 42 grabs, which, like, he had 83 last year, and 15.4 yards per game through the air. I mean, he had 50.4 last season. It's crazy. And the Saints are running 57% run rate using our split tools. It's the highest rate in the NFL, 31.2 seconds per snap. It's the slowest rate in the NFL. Jameis has a 7.64 ADOT. That's like 30th in the NFL. He's 30th in passing attempts. He's got 657 air yards. Like, the only guys behind him are Mills and Fields. Like, it's crazy. It's like Sean Payton is just playing this different style of offense where he doesn't really trust Jameis to take shots down the field. I thought, you know, Jameis under center would mean more deep balls in New Orleans. I really did. Maybe it changes when Michael Thomas is in there and they throw the ball a little bit more. But as of right now, like, I think Alvin Kamara is the guy that you can project for 20-plus touches. I don't know if there's a lot of running backs where we can project that. So I don't mind him. I agree with you. I don't know how many games there will be where he doesn't get a target out of the backfield. I think that has to change. I think they have to find a way to also get the ball in Kamara's hands in space, because that's what he's so good at. I mean, catching and just, he's so explosive after, you know, he gets that catch. So I'm a little hesitant to roll him out at 8-6, but dude, it's like the flip side, right? You take away some of the targets, but you get more carries. So ultimately he's still getting a lot of opportunities, a lot of touches that if he can fall into 2 or 3 grabs, I mean, he could break the slate at any moment. I mean, the offense in New Orleans runs through him.
I still like him, especially given the matchup. I mean, Washington allows the 2nd most points per drive in the NFL just at 2.95. Their defense has been terrible. I would like to see Kamara. I mean, he's been lined up in the slot just 8 times this year, and he's been out wide 11 times. Like, I thought with Michael Thomas out, they would kind of, and again, this also changed when they released Latavius Murray. I thought a lot of the time it would be kind of Latavius in the backfield and Kamara in the slot and just getting peppered with targets, and that's clearly not been the case, but the matchup is great. Then there's the Taysom Hill effect, right? Taysom Hill had 2 rushing touchdowns last week, and yes, they were like ridiculous touchdowns, but they're from, I think, like 10 and 5 yards out, where he just kind of ran through the Giants defenders. But he also played a season high in snaps, so not only does that take away potentially touchdowns from Kamara, but it takes away touches from Jameis Winston, who I kind of had interest in as a cheap quarterback here, simply because Washington's pass defense has been that bad, right? They allow the 5th highest average depth of target, the 8th highest touchdown or passing touchdown rate, just around 61%. But man, with Taysom playing a season high in snaps and getting carries inside the 10,
it's concerning.
It kind of takes me off Jameis. Like, we didn't really talk about him much. I'd rather play Jared Goff at 5,300 from the last game than Jameis. I did write him up in the value article because I do think if, for whatever reason, Washington's run defense continues to kind of play much better than their pass defense, which shouldn't be difficult, if they can slow down Kamara on the ground and force Jameis to throw 30 times, given how bad their pass defense is, that could be enough for Jameis. But I talked about it like all offseason. This has been one of the more interesting, kind of tough to project offenses because so much can change depending on who's under center, who's lined up where. And we've kind of seen that through 5 or 4 weeks in New Orleans. Do we have any interest in anybody else from this team? I mean, Callaway's had some splash plays lately, but the volume's not there for him in this offense. I mean, Troutman's still dominating the snaps and routes, but the production hasn't been there. And, you know, yes, Juwan Johnson has 3 touchdowns this year, but he's not running any routes.
Yeah, I you know what? I'm not interested, honestly. They had 128 total yards against the Panthers a couple weeks ago, which is the fewest in a Sean Payton era. Like, it's just, it's such a different offense right now. And until Michael Thomas gets back in, it's not it for me. I get it, the matchup. And I mean, you're right. Washington's defense has not been, I mean, that's one of the biggest surprises too. Like, I thought this would be a top five defense. Like, it's brutal. Like, teams are throwing all over them and you can throw. Maybe they switched up a little bit. Maybe Jameis takes a couple deep shots and we're like, okay, here we go. Like, here's a deep shot to Callaway. But it seems like all the deep shots just go to Harris. I mean, he's one of the leaders in air yards and depth of target. But like, what are you really getting from him? I mean, you got week one there. That's what, 2 targets? 2 grabs, he had 72 yards, he had that long touchdown catch, but I mean, it's I just gotta pass, man. I really do. I just have to pass on this entire offense. I mean, what you started talking about with Taysom Hill just made me feel like sour about everything in general. Even Alvin Kamara, like running up the field the whole way, and then all of a sudden Taysom getting in there and carrying it from the 5, and it's like, ugh, that's annoying. So I'm out, man. I'm out actually on everybody on the Saints here. And I think the only player I really like in this game is McLaurin.
Yeah, let's talk about Washington. I mean, Terry McLaurin coming off a monster game. He is now averaging 11.3 targets per game alongside Taylor Heinicke this year. Heinicke is literally dropping back to pass and looking for Terry McLaurin. McLaurin has 44% of Washington's air yards, 33% of their receiving yards, and a 30% target share. Those are all like absurdly fantasy friendly, desirable rates. We love that. Yes, he'll probably see Marshawn Lattimore, but like, I've been of the belief that Marshawn Lattimore is a very good corner. He's also not in the realm of corners that I, except Mike Evans maybe, because he, for whatever reason, he has Mike Evans' number.
He does.
But I'm still interested in McLaurin. And listen, Taylor Heinicke, it's not like he's not playing out of his mind. Like, he's playing well, but the fantasy production's been there. He scored at least 23 fantasy points in 3 straight games. I mean, you could do worse. I mean, no Logan Thomas there, so they're gonna he's on IR, so they're gonna probably need even more from McLaurin. We'll see if Curtis Samuel might not even play in this game because he may have aggravated his groin, and reports out of Washington say it's not looking great for him. Yeah. Dyami Brown's banged up right now. He didn't practice on Thursday with a knee injury. Who the hell else are they gonna throw to? They clearly don't want to throw to Antonio Gibson.
No.
I mean, the Saints run defense is still elite, so like this could be a 15-target game for Terry McLaurin.
And I think it may be, yeah. I mean, you go back and look at week two when Samuel wasn't, when he wasn't playing, and then Adam Humphries had 8 targets and 7 grabs, so like maybe he could be the
He might actually be a thing if Dyami and Samuel are both out, because Logan Thomas is already out. Like, Ricky Seals-Jones is not going to be a focal point of their offense. And Humphries has been involved enough even with other players there, so
You know, like that game he was very involved when there was Bradberry mostly on McLaurin, but also McLaurin, you know, passed that test. I agree. I think a lot of people take shots, unnecessary shots, at Marshawn Lattimore. I still think he's a solid corner in the league, but you know, McLaurin is
he's a top 12 corner, top 10 corner, whatever. Think for me, and this is clearly like you're gonna laugh, I'm just still tilted that the top 100 NFL players list on NFL Network had him like 50, 60 spots over Trey White, who was like 97th. So I'm just...
I feel you on that one. I think we all should be a little tilted about that. But that's the thing with Lattimore. I think he just gets overhyped just a little bit. But yeah, Terry McLaurin can eat him up. I mean, in that game against the Giants,
if McLaurin can beat Bradberry, he can beat Lattimore.
He had 14 targets and 11 grabs. So like a couple things from that game is, one, like Terry McLaurin's such a terrific route runner, and I think good offense beats defense every time. And for McLaurin, I mean, he could make it happen against Lattimore. And also, you mentioned Heinicke. I mean, dude is not afraid to target Terry McLaurin. You just had those numbers. I mean, those are healthy numbers in terms of targets per game with Heinicke, target share, air yards, it's all there. And for him to have 13 last week and 20 in his last 2 weeks and then 34 over his last three here. And he just, Heinicke did not care about Bradbury. He gave him 14 targets, 11 grabs. And it looked, I mean, if you're watching that game, it was slow. I know a couple of buddies of mine were like, oh, in a chat, like, oh my goodness, I knew I shouldn't have played Terry. It's like, no, you play your studs. He'll be fine. Then all of a sudden it was like two drives and this guy was like double digit. He was into 15, flirting with 20 fantasy points and he has 30 DK points. So I think he could fall into, let's be conservative here. He's getting 10 targets. Like, if we can be conservative, like, he's getting 10 and the upside is to be in that 14 and 15 range considering all the injuries. And you're right. I don't think Curtis Samuel does. I don't think he plays in this game.
Yeah. McLaurin, I don't, there's so many good receivers in the NFL, so I don't know exactly where he ranks, but he's incredible. Man. He really is.
There are so many good ones, but I think he's top 10. If we're talking dynasty, he's definitely top 10.
Yeah. Just in general though, like as a player, he's unbelievable.
He really is.
And yeah, like if Samuel and Diami Brown are both out, I mean, Adam Humphrey's at 3,300.
It's
like,
not bad.
I don't think Washington's going to have much success running the football here. Gibson's still dealing with that shin injury. Would have had interest in McKissick because Gibson did leave that game late in the fourth quarter. I guess early in the fourth quarter with an injury. Didn't really play much the rest of the way because they were in hurry up, trailing, they weren't trailing by much, but they were trailing. So we saw a lot of McKissick, but looks like he's fine. That takes him off the bat. I don't have any interest in Gibson. Just
no.
Like, and that's the other thing. Washington's defense being bad is really bad for Antonio Gibson because a lot of his lack of third downs and lack of pass catching last year was due to the fact that Washington, despite their defense taking steps in the second half, they were still among the league leaders in plays run trailing. So you go into this season saying, okay, their offense should be better with better quarterback play. They have more weapons. They should be able to sustain drives. Their defense, it looks like it's ascending as a top five unit. So there'll be more scripts for Gibson to get 20 carries, but their defense falling off a cliff is terrible for Gibson. So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about him. It's really McLaurin and maybe Humphreys. And I don't hate Heinicke as a stack. You can run it back with Kamara and hope he gets the targets again. But anything else from that game?
No, I don't think so. I think you nailed the Gibson thing, man. It is concerning. I don't understand why.
I don't think we're talking about it enough either. We talk all the time about how he just doesn't get the targets and doesn't play on third downs. We're not talking enough about why that hasn't happened and the fact that Washington's defense not only is underwhelming, I mean, they're legitimately bad. I mean, Chase Young is getting pressures, but they're doubling him. He's not getting sacks. The rest of this, I think Jonathan Allen's banged up in that pass rush. And then, yeah, they have William Jackson, but like, they're not holding up in the back end anywhere else. And their pass rush isn't getting home. Like, they're getting absolutely torched.
I think that's, like, I know. And this was honestly my concern coming in, is that they may not use him. Like, the fantasy community wanted Gibson to be a bell cow back and to be a pass catcher. And it all makes sense. Like, he's a wide receiver converted running back. We see him at times line up in the slot or line up wide. And it is mind boggling the fact that he wouldn't, you know, get a lot of third down reps or play in a 2 minute drill. But you know what? J.D. McKissick is a good pass catcher. He caught 80 balls last year. He's a good pass blocker. And at the same time, I think Gibson is still learning the running back position week in and week out, like learning how to protect and pass.
I mean, there's a report saying that exact thing every week.
Yeah. And
it's like Gibson's still learning the position. It's like,
And what you said with the defense not being as good and then playing from behind is an absolute thing. I mean, if you projected this team moving forward, at the start of the season, at least for me, I don't want to speak for you, at least for me, I thought that they would be a top five defense, that they would control
100%.
Games, and that they would be able to run the ball with Antonio Gibson more than 14 times a game. Like, he has one game with more than 14 carries, and it happened week one in a tight game where their defense played okay in that game, and they were able to control it and run the rock with him a little bit. But the other games, like, they're giving up too many points, like 29 points, 43 points to your Bills, 30, like, they're just 30 plus points to the Falcons, that they're getting into these shootouts. And you're right, we're not talking about it enough. And until this defense improves, I don't think we'll see Gibson get to that, you know, I don't know, 18 plus touches a game, like, on average. I just don't think we see it, man. So until, this is definitely not the spot, like, against the Saints. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he's going to have a lot of success around the football.
Moving on to the Miami Dolphins traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. I actually have a lot of interest in this game. for starters, let's just get this out of the way. If Myles Gaskin's salary was literally $0, I still wouldn't play him. Like,
how can you play him? How can you? I mean, if Miami doesn't like him, how can you like him?
So, Mets and I did the recap pod on Sunday. I said Gaskin is 100% droppable. Do you agree?
Yes, yes, I do. I do agree.
I mean, Malcolm Brown has started two straight games. Whatever. You're not playing running backs against Tempe, especially running backs who don't even play.
Right.
But I just wanted to point that out, that Myles Gaskin looks like he's going to be... Everybody's talking about Robert Woods, who finally went off. Now, like, Myles Gaskin's been a major bust. Yeah. But
if you had 100 lineups, you wouldn't play him.
If I had 1,000 lineups, I wouldn't play him. I'm not kidding either. No, I would not play him.
It's not a good play. It's a waste of a play. It's not worth it.
I mean, especially against Tampa Bay. Like, if he was facing Detroit or something, I still would have pause. It's just not...
He had two carries. He had five against the Bills.
He doesn't play in two-minute drills. Exactly. He doesn't get past third down work, and he doesn't get goal line work. So it's like, it's bad. But Miami does have a couple interesting players here. Will Fuller on IR, broken hand. Devontae Parker should play, limited with a shoulder. He should be good to go. I really, really like, and it scares me a little bit because Miami's offense has been brutal, but I really like Jalen Waddle, and I really like Mike Gesicki here. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I was completely off Mike Gesicki in the offseason. I thought he was a terrible pick. I was worried about Will Fuller being there and Waddle playing in the slot, but now, like, they're both playing the slot, and that's really, really, really advantageous here. Tampa Bay, according to our advanced DVP tool, they are allowing the second most slot targets at 11.5 and the fourth most slot receptions at 7.5 per game in the NFL. We know their secondary is completely banged up. Carlton Davis on IR. Jamel Dean's hurt. They just brought in Richard Sherman off the street. Their secondary is not only hurt, but just it's bad.
Yeah.
Miami's going to be trailing in this game. Jalen Waddle's been in the slot around 78% of the time. And even with Fuller out, he's going to stay in the slot. And then Mike Gesicki is in the slot around 73% of the time, second highest rate among all tight ends, and his 18 slot targets lead all tight ends. Tampa Bay allowing the third most fantasy points per game to tight ends. I love Gesicki here. I really like Waddle, and that's why I wasn't really on Khalif Raymond, because Waddle's 4,800. That's where I'm going with Miami, and there's obviously, I don't want to say obviously, but there's suddenly a very trustworthy Tampa Bay running back that you can bring it back with potentially.
Boy. I love Lenny. I love Fournette. Yeah, those are like the two like value backs. We talked about Harris off the top. The other one is Fournette.
Yep, they were in my article.
Yeah, I really like the usage from Fournette last week. I mean, Ronald Jones is an afterthought, and I know Gio returned to practice, but whatever. I mean, 20 attempts on the ground.
Who cares? They're going to be up by 30 in this game. They're not going to need Gio.
They're not going to need him. 20 attempts, 92 yards. He had 5 targets, 3 grabs. He got at least 3 catches in each of his 4 games, too. So Lenny is he's a terrific play. They're almost, what are they? Last time I checked, they're like 9-point favorites, 10-point favorites here. So they're going to be up in this game. I like what you said about Miami, too. I mean, Gesicki, I'm in... locks up agreement with you. The Gesicki wasn't on my radar as a draft target. And I talked about him being a drop candidate after week one when he put up a zero. Oops.
I mean, I was with you. If you looked at his snaps and routes, because Durham Smythe and Shaheen are still playing snaps.
Yes.
But Gesicki's routes have skyrocketed. And then Brissett's targeting him a lot. Brissett has really relied on his tight ends dating back to Indianapolis. So it's like, you have to adjust, right? There's players I was completely off of, like Mike Gesicki. All of a sudden, he's a borderline top 10 tight end in redraft. And I think if I'm paying in that 4K range on DraftKings, I really like Mike Gesicki the most here. They're going to be trailing. It's a good matchup. And you just gotta, that's why it's a weekly thing. You got to look at the new data and usage changes.
You got to be willing to adjust. There's a new quarterback in town, and he's looking at Gesicki and he's looking at Waddle. And that's it. I mean, we have the sample right there of a guy who has 18 targets and 15 grabs in his last two games. And you just talked about all the numbers, too. I mean, so it's a good spot. You can't run on. We talked about that. You can't run on Tampa. So like that part of the game is going to be non-existent for Miami. They can try all they want. It's just not, they're not going to have any success. And we know on the other side that Tampa is going to have a ton of success to score points. So the third most fantasy points to tight ends, the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. Like, it is just a really good spot for everyone. I like Parker. I get the Waddle call, and he's under 5.
I mean, yeah, Parker's fine too.
But Parker, yeah, I think he's, I think he's got the higher ceiling for touchdowns. You know, he's going to get targeted down the field a little bit more. But yeah, looking into Parker a little bit more, I do this, a video with top DFS plays. I try to focus you know, just on top ones. You know, Josh Klotchy, he's like, give top ones, but if you want to give a couple values, like, I don't want to be so obvious with certain dudes. But I'm just like, you know what, Parker, when I was looking at him, it's like, wow, he's got 7 targets in each game. He's got 4 grabs in each one. You know, he's got the touchdown upside there, you know, 70 plus yards and 2. So he's coming with a decent floor of 8 and 9. He can get into that 20 point range. Like, we've seen it certainly before. Like, this could be the spot for him. But yeah, Miami, I think, will go under the radar, Pfeiffer. I don't think a lot of people will be interested in the Dolphins. I think they'll look at Tampa like, maybe a spot for the defense to get right here. But you mentioned a lot of holes in their secondary right now, and there's some dudes that are missing. They lost like 3 or 4 guys in that New England game as well.
Yeah, I actually, it does scare me, but I was surprised how much I liked some of these Miami pass catchers here. Yeah. And then, like Leonard Fournette. I mean, you want to talk about having to adjust and adjust on the fly. I mean, in August and July, it was don't even draft anybody from Tampa Bay's backfield. It's going to be committed to mess. Yeah. And then Ronald Jones fumbles in week one, and he hasn't done enough to earn more playing time. And you look at that game on Sunday night. Leonard Fournette played 64 snaps. Ronald Jones played 13. Yeah. Fournette ran 37 pass routes, which led all running backs from week four with no Geo there. What do you have, 22, 23 touches? Miami's run defense is not good. They give up 1.2 rushing touchdowns per game. Opposing offenses run the ball about 45% of the time against Miami. That's a top 7 rate in the NFL. He's a home favorite. The price tag is really nice. Like, I love Fournette. Really, he made my first build. So love that. What about the pass catchers are interesting, right? Because Brady didn't have a touchdown last week. I mean, that's not happening again. But Chris Godwin's target shares dropped in every game this year.
Yeah, I know. And he's kind of the one I like. I feel like he has the best, matchup here, but he wasn't really, I mean, last week was strange, man. Really, Godwin didn't get going. It was a lot of Evans and, you know, it was mostly Evans and then some AB mixed in there. I have a hard time, I'll be honest, I have a hard time nailing down these dudes. You know, when I've played Tampa, I've played Brady, and then I play Evans for some touchdowns. I feel like Godwin, like if you're a cash game player, I think Godwin is that guy, and then Evans and AB, like if you're a tournament player, you know, you try to shoot for some upside here. Howard will be on Evans, you know, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. Godwin does have the best spot here against Justin Coleman. But like, there's been some quiet games from him, and I've noticed what you have noticed is a little bit of a decline here in terms of usage. But I think, honestly, as much as you said Brady is going to throw a touchdown, and he certainly will, I don't have my, like, I've built 3 or 4 lineups that I like, and I'm not getting to anyone besides Leonard Fournette. And, like, that could be a mistake, but I just think this is going to be a big Lenny game.
I mean, I really don't disagree. If you're playing a bunch of lineups, playing Brady with a double stack makes sense. Antonio Brown's pretty cheap. My only problem with AB is when all three receivers are healthy, like, he doesn't play at all on 2 receiver sets. So it's like, and they go two receiver sets quite often.
Quite often, yeah.
But when Brown's in the game, he gets targets. Like, they drop screens for him. He had a couple end zone shots. So, like, yeah, you can, I mean, Brady probably is going to want to get some touchdowns after last week. You can play a Brady Evans stack with Godwin. Like, I'm fine with that, but I agree. Like, when I first looked at this game, Leonard Fournette was my target. Real quick, any interest in Cameron Brate, assuming Gronk's out again, which it looks like he will be? Brate's routes and snaps were fine. It's just, you know, he's not going to get the opportunities and looks that Gronk would get from Brady. And all of a sudden now you're the tight end on the Tampa Bay offense, but you're the 4th, 5th option.
Yeah, I don't really. If this was more, you know, as much as we're saying Miami scores some points, like, if this was more, if I had more confidence in them to mm-hmm. have this be a shootout and to have Brady drop back and throw, because he has been, I mean, he's been throwing the football a lot, and the pass rate is through the roof here with the Bucs, and they're running at a quick pace. But this may be one of those games where they don't really have to do that, and they can run the football a little bit more. I mean, 25 opportunities for Fournette for last week is pretty telling of what could carry over this week. So I get it. You know, maybe in a deep league, and you know, we're not talking DFS, as Brate is a guy who, you know, potentially you can plug in and hope that he can fall into the end zone for you. 11 targets here over the last 2 weeks, but I'm not really getting to him.
All right, this next game, I don't like doing this, but as it stands right now on Friday morning, I don't know if I'm going to play a single player from this game. Denver at Pittsburgh.
Me neither, bud.
Maybe if Melvin Gordon's out, but he did return to a limited practice. He's dealing with like a lower leg bruise or a contusion. Did return to limited fashion on Thursday. This backfield's been a full-on 50-50 split. Yeah. Gordon's been getting more passing down work. Javonte's been getting more short yardage work. So if Melvin Gordon's in, I don't think I'm playing. Like, sure, Deontay at 6,500 is probably underpriced given the fact that he just sees anytime he plays over 50% of the snaps, he gets double-digit targets. But I'm not playing Juju. I'm not playing Claypool if he's active. Obviously not playing Ben. The volume will be there for Najee, right? He's going to get 7-8 targets. But, like, Denver's run defense has been elite. This is... I wrote the offensive line, defensive line matchups article. This is one of the worst matchups, right? I mean, anybody against the Steelers, right? The D-line should be favored. But especially here, Denver's run defense has been great. I don't know, man. For me, it's probably Deontay or bust. I just think Deontay's probably a little bit too cheap. But, yeah, I mean, Sutton's been the king of air yards, but they haven't really, you know, come to fruition. It looks like Bridgewater should play.
Oh, is he trending in the right direction?
It sounds like it. Yeah, he will practice. Yeah, he did practice Thursday. Sounds like he's going to clear the protocol in time. But yeah, I mean, like Sutton has the opportunity to have a huge game, right? He is just getting so many air yards.
Yeah, but the problem is with his, like, he is getting all the air yards and he's among the leaders in, like, not grabbing those air yards. Like, when you look at him overall as a guy, you know, it's the free tool, and I always dive into this. It's 493 air yards and he's caught 257 of them. He's got 28 targets and 18 grabs. His ADOT is 17.61. It's kind of reminding me of Juju Jerry Jeudy last year when he was getting a ton of targets and he wasn't hauling them in. And I thought, well, the reason he's not hauling them in is because he's getting targeted 14, 17 yards on average down the field. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, it's great to get those air yards and to get those targets, but when the quarterback play is so awful, it's really not even on Sutton. I mean, if you're looking to be absolute contrarian and you're playing multiple lineups, sure, go for it, but I just don't see the upside here in this game. And we have a 39.5 total. I don't think it gets there. And you look at Sutton, three just dud games, right? Three grabs for 47, five for 57, one for 14. So like 159 of his 257 yards came in one game, and it came against Jacksonville. So it is better news that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he could be under center, but I'm with you, man. Like, I'm not interested in really anyone. I think Najee Harris should be. I mean, this is probably the last time he's under 7K. He's still, you know, at 6'9". The targets have certainly been there. And if you watch Ben, I mean, this offense will make you throw up. I mean, there was a play on 4th and 10 inside the Bengals red zone with the game on the line, and they had like just a swing pass.
I think that was the play where Tyler Boyd was like, yeah, they kind of just gave up.
Like, what the hell was that? Like, what?
And then they did it two more times.
Writing on the wall.
Yeah, they did it two more times against Green Bay on 4th and 4. They did swing passes, and it's like, and just watching this offense the last 2 weeks makes me sick that the Bills aren't 4-0 right now.
I crazy, right? That's the game that they lost. I guess it was just the defense and they couldn't get anything going on offense. It's not like Pittsburgh did anything against the Bills.
No, they had one of their touchdowns came off a blocked punt. Like,
it's amazing, yeah, it's, to me, it's bad. That dude, that they have watched Big Ben over the past couple of years, and I'm sure that the coaching staff and everyone watched film in the offseason and they were like, you know what, that's fine, we'll go with Big Ben one more year. I get it, like the team is, you know, I don't think that they're win now and they're a contender, but they also don't want to rebuild and draft a rookie quarterback and throw one out. But man, like, they need to clearly address the quarterback position, because Ben he's limiting everybody in this offense. I mean, Claypool, when he's healthy, he's been underthrown a bunch of times. I think you nailed it with the one guy in this game, and it's Deontay, because he's just too cheap. And that's been the thing, right? Going back to last year, remember when he was getting all these double-digit targets?
Yeah.
There was times when he was like 4K, and it's like, what's going on? We're playing this guy. So 14, 22, and 24 DK points. He's seen an improvement. Double-digit targets in every game. He's the guy. But I don't expect a lot of offense in this game.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say, if there's one player from Denver, if you're just, like you said, if you're playing a bunch of lineups, GPPs, whatever, and if Sutton can finally realize these air yards and connect, he's got 150 and one upside, or potentially two. But yeah, I'm not excited about it. Let's go to Green Bay and Cincinnati. The Bengals probably going to be without Joe Mixon in this game. He has yet to practice this week with the ankle. Looking like it's going to be some sort of committee with Samaje Perine and Chris Evans. Both players are 4K on DraftKings. if you want to go there, I probably won't. Green Bay's run defense last year was terrible. They've been actually really good dating back to the end of last season and starting this season. They've been pretty good against the run. So I think this is a game where we saw it last week, right on Thursday night. The Bengals offense start to open up a little bit more. Joe Burrow looked as comfortable as he ever has on Thursday night. I think this is the game we've been waiting for the Bengals, where they just air it out. And that makes Burrow interesting. Green Bay secondary is banged up. Jaire Alexander probably doesn't play in this game. Then you have T. Higgins probably going to be back. So you have Jamar Chase potentially against no Jaire Alexander. You have Higgins at 5K. Boyd's giving you a really solid floor. I think the passing game is where to go here for Cincinnati. I think going to Samaje Perine and or Chris Evans is probably a trap. Yep. And you just say, you know what, Joe Burrow at 6,100, he looked great last week. We finally might, especially if they get behind here, finally see them throw it 40 times. And if Joe Burrow is throwing the ball 40 times with these receivers healthy against us, a little bit banged up Green Bay secondary, it's wheels up.
Yeah, giddy up. Absolutely. I think they unleash him. And then you started to see it last week. And obviously, you know, they played from behind in that first half. But last year in 10 games, Joe Burrow had at least 30 passing attempts in every game, including the one where he left early against Washington. He had 34. And then heading into last week, he only had the one game with 30 passing attempts. They were playing at a slower pace. Maybe they were just like, okay, you're coming off that injury. I'm sure Zach Taylor wants to have a more balanced offense, but they were giving Mixon a lot of touches, and they really weren't unleashing Joe Burrow, right? Like 27 attempts.
Yeah, they've been among the league leaders in rushing percentage on first down. Yes. Like they've been running a lot.
I think a lot
of that is Joe Burrow, right? Yes. They want to ease him in a little bit, but after watching him, there was a clip of him pretty much telling Zach Taylor, like, let's go empty, give me the ball, and I'll go with the game for us.
And he was like perfect in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Well, when you have CJ Uzama, like your job's easier at quarterback. So, but in all seriousness, I really like the passing attack here. I think T. Higgins does play. He probably would have played last week if it wasn't a Thursday night game.
Yes.
So, wheels up, man. I love Burrow.
Yeah, I think he throws the ball. I think we're going to see him get into the 40 attempt. What we were used to seeing, what we saw from him last year, I think we see it here. Yeah, this could be a really good fantasy game. This could be a nice little fantasy environment. I think that both teams will get into, you know, 21, 20 plus points here. And I think both quarterbacks could toss a couple touchdowns. But yeah, Joe Burrow is in a pretty good spot, especially if Alexander doesn't play. And it does look like he's going to miss this one. So I'm projecting Burrow for near 40 throws. And if he gets up into that range, he can get some bonuses. He can get 300 plus yards here, toss a couple touchdowns. You know, he's been really good in this offense. I'd like to hear your thoughts, even with T. Higgins coming back. Is Tyler Boyd, man. Dude has been really good over the past couple weeks. Clearly, I mean, we all saw it last week when there was no T. Higgins. He had 9 catches on 11 targets for 118 yards, but he was good against the Steelers. I know he only had 36 yards, but I think Burrow missed him on one, which would have been a touchdown to the house, but he did have one where he got smoked a couple times and he stayed on his feet and he found the end zone. He's just a reliable guy for Burrow. And I think, you know, when Higgins is back in here, people won't be looking at him again. I think they'll be looking at Chase, maybe looking at T. Higgins. But I think Boyd is, I don't know if he's sneaky, but
I mean, man, he's the floor play. Chase has been getting a ton of deep targets. And then Higgins, when he's been on the field over the past year and a half, has been their end zone guy.
Yeah, he has.
So
it's a lot of different ways to go.
And if this were a different, we've clearly talked about how we both are projecting Cincinnati to go way more pass heavy in this game, with Mixon probably out. If this were a situation like the first couple weeks where they were throwing 25 to 30 times a game, I would say 100% one of these, maybe even two of these receivers are going to bust. But if we're projecting 40 plus pass attempts, all three of them could at their price tags. Like Chase is 5,800. He's the most expensive. My favorite's always going to be whoever's the cheapest, and that's going to be T. Higgins, who I still think is going to be an end zone target for Burrow. But, like, you can double stack. Like C.J. Uzama is not going to be as involved as he was last week, so I'm not saying, like, Uzama is going to be somebody that you have to stack. I'm not playing him. But, yeah, I'm not. Are you going to play a running back here?
No, I'm not. I don't think I'll play one on either side, but I'm not playing one on Cincy. I'm not going to fall into that trap. I think P. Ryan may be the guy. I think he could get 12 carries, catch one or two passes, but I'm with you. I think Burrow he gets unleashed. And, you know, Chris Evans is actually a pretty good pass catcher, so we could see him get a few touches here in this game to see what they have with him.
For Green Bay, Rodgers and Adams, play them if you want. They're good.
Adams scored a touchdown this week. Well, can we say that?
Oh, yeah.
He's got what does he got? One touchdown? He's getting touchdowns.
Yeah, he was in my first build. He has 29 targets the last 2 weeks. He was in my first build as well. Aaron Jones, he's been limited the last couple weeks of practice with an ankle. And I wonder how much that played into the usage for A.J. Dillon last week. Both had 15 carries in that game. And, yeah, a handful of Dillons came in the fourth quarter with them, you know, kind of salting that game away. But I think Dillon's carving out a larger role. Jones is still getting the valuable touches, and I still think he's in play. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I'm not on Robert Tonyan. Don't like his usage. And then the only other thing is, any interest in Randall Cobb with MVS still out?
I think so, yeah. I mean, this is crazy. I was going to bring up Cobb to you. I mean, last week, people may be chasing last week a little bit with the 6 targets, 5 grabs. He had 2 touchdowns. But I think having MVS out, you know, there's a report out of Green Bay and The Athletic was just basically that, you know, with MVS gone, that they were, you know, this was going to be an opportunity for Randall Cobb to be, you know, involved. And if it does plan out, like I'm painting the picture here of this game. And I am thinking that we're going to see 2 quarterbacks sling it here a little bit, that Randall Cobb could be at 4K, the number 2 option in this offense through the air. It could be because Tonyan is not it. Lazard is not it for me. Like I'm just not interested in his 1 to 3 targets a game, whatever he's getting. Cobb could be a guy in the red zone. We've seen it before inside this offense. It was years ago, but he could be. He got a couple red zone looks last week. You know, he had the 2 touchdowns. So yeah, I am in on him. Just one thing to say about Adams, like 38 targets in the last 3 weeks, a 40% target share. I mean, that's just behind Cooks, but the targets are the most in the NFL. I think him and Justin Jefferson, I've been back and forth all week on who's my favorite wide receiver. They're both studs, but both of these guys I think will eat. And if you're looking to just full on game stack this game, which could, I'm interested. I don't know if I'm alone here, you know, to get an Adams and a Cobb and order the other side with the 2 of the 3 Bengals wide receivers, man, if this is like a 50 plus point game, you're going to cash if you have 3 or 4 pieces from this game and they're all pass catchers. I think I'm avoiding all the running backs in this spot.
Yeah, this game is very stackable. I don't hate Aaron Jones, but there's a couple running backs slightly cheaper that I do prefer. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into them soon. But yeah, I mean, this game could be, you know, Rodgers goes for 330 and 4. Burrow has to, you know, climb back and goes for, you know, 350 and 3, maybe a pick or two or whatever. But like, I think that's a very interesting game to stack for sure. Moving on to the final 2 1 o'clock games, Philadelphia travels to Carolina. Jalen Hurts, 7K on DraftKings. He has been awesome for fantasy, which a lot of people expected. 28, 22, 25 and a half, and 31 fantasy points. Despite last week, he had a couple touchdowns called back via penalty. And then after those touchdowns got called back, Nick Sirianni, who literally has called one good game, and it was week one against Atlanta. Since then, he's been an absolute train wreck. Carolina, good defense. They obviously got lit up by Dallas last week. But the Eagles have just, and like, you follow the Eagles closely, like, they are just abandoning the run right now. They have no desire to run the football. And Carolina, before last week, yeah, Zeke and Pollard got them, but Zeke and Pollard have been running against everybody outside of week one. Their run defense and their D-line up the middle has been pretty good. So I think this is another game where Hurts can throw 40 times. And given the fact he's going to give you anywhere between 40 and 70 rushing yards, most likely, he still, you know, projects as a really, really strong play.
Yeah, he does. From a fantasy standpoint, this guy is like, he's fantasy gold, man. He really is. Like, what he's doing is pretty remarkable. I think he has either 300 passing yards or 50 rushing yards in all of his completed games, which is what, like, that's fantasy gold right there, considering if you look overall, he underthrows a bunch of guys and he does make some mistakes. But overall, I mean, you look back a couple games last year, 338 passing yards against Arizona, 342 against Dallas. And then here this season, KC, and maybe this is something to be said about KC's defense, but they didn't stop Philly once last. They didn't make them punt at all. Like, there was a couple.
Their defense is so bad.
Their defense is brutal, but they moved the ball pretty easily, and they were able to match with Mahomes. And you're right. They're not running the football. They're not giving it to Miles Sanders. They're kind of just abandoning the run.
He's close, by the way. I would still play him in Sanders? Like 150 lineups, but he's not where Myles Gaskin was for me.
Yeah.
But man, like,
I just don't get it. Because he's good.
He's very good. Okay, so this is me selfishly, like, kind of enjoying the fact that Sanders isn't getting the ball because I love Kenneth Gainwell. So it's like, but at the end of the day, Miles Sanders is a very talented running back who deserves more than 9 carries over the last 2 weeks, especially when he faced Dallas's run defense, which I still don't believe is good, and then the Chiefs, who we know isn't good. And yeah, they've gotten behind at points in those games, but they've been abandoning the run in those last 2 games before the game was even close to out of reach.
Oh, yeah.
Before it was catch-up mode.
I really just don't understand it because Sanders has been, I mean, he's been explosive his first year, his rookie year. He's one of 4 backs to have 50 grabs. He had 500 receiving yards, 800 rushing yards, 4.6 yards per carry with elite company like CMC, Kamara, Cook. And then year 2, he had explosive runs. I mean, heading into this season, you look back at the 2 years that he's been in the league, only Chubb and Henry had more 50-yard touchdown runs than him. Like, he has been explosive, and over time when he's given the ball, you see him, like, his yards per attempt, I mean, pretty solid for his career. It's just he doesn't seem to get the rock. And now the Eagles, like, they could be down 4 offensive linemen again. Lane Johnson was supposed to return to practice yesterday. He's dealing with some personal stuff, so he may not be able to play. I think Carolina's a tough team to run on. So I think that Hurts is going to continue just to drop back. And I was shocked. I was looking at his yardage prop. I mean, it's 238 yards. Like, I was just talking about the games. He's got back-to-back games over 300 passing yards here. He had 2 last year. He's been chucking the football quite a bit over the last 2 games. A lot of attempts, 39 and 48. I think he lives in that 40 range again. I'm not really interested in him, though. Like, there's some other quarterbacks. I don't feel like I'm getting to him, but I don't think he's a bad play. Like, I think he's averaging 27 DraftKings points in all of his starts. Like, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah. In terms of, like, stacks, again, you don't have to stack with Hurts, but Devonta Smith has been kind of the guy getting the air yards, the target share. Zach Ertz also is like the worst cheap tight end. Like, he's been plenty involved the last couple weeks, but it's not the most exciting play. And yeah, Miles Sanders, you can't play him right now.
No, you can't.
For Carolina, keep an eye on Christian McCaffrey. He might play.
Dude,
practice Thursday. He said he definitely has a chance to play. If he's active, I don't see a situation where they limit him, so he'd obviously be in play.
Yeah.
But DJ Moore, I mean,
let's keep playing.
I've just been gushing about him for like months now. He's amazing. Top 5 in first 3 targets. He's been Sam Darnold's clear number 1 target. He's been unbelievable. He's not my favorite receiver on the slate, but I still have interest. And then Darnold, I mean, if he's going to keep rushing for touchdowns, I mean, yeah, keep playing him. I expect this to slow down eventually, but I'm not really interested in Darnold in this slate. He's a little bit too expensive. I will say with McCaffrey, if he plays, the Eagles' run defense has fallen off a cliff the last couple weeks.
They've been getting dominated.
That'd be nice for him. Anything that stands out to you from Carolina?
No, that's it. I mean, you said it. CMC plays. He won't be limited. They're not going to roll him out there at like 75%. So he'll play, and the Eagles' run defense, the offensive line has just been like they lost Brandon Graham, and it's you could really see you can see it on defense, and then the offensive line has had issues. So they're just getting owned on both sides of the line of scrimmage. That's it. I mean, DJ Moore isn't my favorite either, but my goodness, man, like this guy. I mean, you just play him week in and week out. You take his catch prop at 5.5. He's cleared it every single week. I mean, he's just. I'm glad people are starting to talk about him because I feel like you, myself, Elliot, I feel like everyone at FTN, D-Bro, like we've all really liked this guy. And I think even in real life, like he's completely underrated. And now we're starting to see it firsthand. He's terrific.
I've had a lot of misses and a lot of bad calls this year already. But the 2 receivers I was very high on have been DJ Moore and Mike Williams. So that's been nice. Fun.
That's a good hit.
all right. We still have a handful of games left. Let's try to get through these. Tennessee at Jacksonville. A.J. Brown might play. He probably is going to play, actually.
Yeah, it looks
returned good. In full on Thursday. So, puts him on track to play. Julio Jones not practicing, so it puts him on track to not play. Give me all of the A.J. Brown here at 6,500, especially with no Julio, presumably. I tweet this and I talk about this every single week. Jacksonville has allowed 100 yards to receiver in every game this year. Dating back to last season, 14 of the last 16 games, they've allowed a 100-yard receiver. AJ Brown is going to smash this week. And I actually don't hate Tannehill with him because I don't think anybody's going to want to play Tannehill because he's been bad. But again, he's been without his top two receivers for a lot of the year. I love this stack. Derrick Henry is going to get 30 touches. You can play Derrick Henry. He's getting a little bit more involved in the passing game. Not going to tell you anything about Derrick Henry. Yeah, Tennessee's kind of easier for me. I mean, I love AJ Brown. He's going to play. I love him.
Yeah, play him. Absolutely. I think having Tannehill there is sneaky too. Yeah, you're right. Henry's going to get 30 touches. He's had games with, he had a game with 41,
dude,
one with 35.
14 of the last 16 games, they've allowed a 100-yard receiver. And like CJ Henderson was supposed to be their best corner. He's not even on the team anymore. So
he's
it's
not even
like,
on the team. Yeah. And on the other side, dude, like Jones and LaVisca are both of these guys are definitely in play. Tennessee 26th in pass DVOA, the second most fantasy points to wideouts, 8.4 yards per pass attempt, ranked 26th. The 10th most passing yards. You saw LaVisca. You know, I was looking deeper into LaVisca just a little bit. Now, it was just the one game without DJ Chark, but he did leave early. Like, overall, this guy's got a 6.9 ADOT. But last week, he was used a little bit differently. Like, he was getting
targeted. I think his ADOT was, like, in the 4.5 range before last week. So,
it
yeah.
was. Yeah. And then last week, I bring it up quickly, I think it was like 13, his ADOT last week. So there was a guy who was just really involved differently in, you know, in the air. So I like both of these guys. I think Marv is the guy, you know, he's got the higher ADOT. He had the touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks have been pretty quiet, but he's still top 25 in air yards. And like, you're going to have to throw here, I think, because Tennessee is going to score some points. This is another sneaky game that I think could get, I don't even know how sneaky it is, but the total's at 49. There's another one that I think could get into the 50s here. So I think both of those wide receivers are absolutely in play. I think I lean Jones, but I have no issue rolling out LaVisca.
This might get me
13.5 ADOT last week for LaVisca.
Yeah, you might think I'm crazy here, but given the $800 difference, actually it's $900 on DraftKings, I actually prefer LaVisca over Marvin Jones.
He said it, folks. He whispered it, but I heard it.
I do like both a lot, but I do like that change, a little bit change in role for Chenault last week. And he does. Tennessee's secondary is bad, but if there's one player that's been good in the secondary, it's been Christian Fulton, who will probably see more Marvin this game based off our wide receiver cornerback matchup chart on the site. So I do like LaVisca a little bit more. Any interest in James Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
6K if he's getting... Yeah. I mean, Carlos Hyde's off the injury report because it wasn't a healthy scratch. We thought it was. It was a shoulder... Like you said, his shoulder
no
was bothering
Urban
him.
Meyer was going to make him inactive.
Right. So, like, that scares me a little bit. But 6K, like, Robinson was already... His usage was already starting to trend up before last week. So at 6K, like I don't have a problem with it at all.
No, I have no problem either. He's at a good price, right? I think, you know, we talked a bit about Harris and Fournette in a better price range, but at 6K, the fact that it's been back to back weeks now where he's had at least 20 opportunities, so I think that's a positive. Even with Hyde active, I think finally, you know, Urban Meyer's realizing that James Robinson is a pretty good back and he's better suited for this offense. He's got way more upside. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also we didn't talk about it, but all the rookie quarterbacks looked a lot better this past week, including Trevor Lawrence, who I actually do have some interest in. Yeah, you know who to stack him with. It's LaVisca. You can double stack if you want. Bring it back with Derrick Henry. Do whatever you want to do. I do like Trevor Lawrence a little bit in this game.
He's been running around.
Right? Yeah,
36,
I wrote about that.
21 run, 21
he's got
yards.
At least, what, 20 rushing yards in three straight?
Yep. He's been running, and Urban Meyer said that. I mean, after the first one, like, don't be afraid to use your legs, like, use your instincts, what you did in Clemson at, you know, at times as well. And, you know, it's working. I'm seeing it. More design runs for him, and he's been willing to kind of tuck it and run and get that.
Was he, like, a half yard away from two rushing touchdowns in this game, too?
Oh, I know he was. I'm sure he would like to have that one back last week. Yeah. That was kind of the turning point of that entire game. I mean, you find the end zone there, you're up 21.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So I do think he's kind of sneaky here with, you know, he'd get 30 rushing yards, maybe a touchdown. And then if they do get behind, the secondary is still so bad from Tennessee. I mean, Zach Wilson just got him for 297 and two. Corey Davis and Jamison Crowder just adds to the reason why you like LaVisca and Marvin Jones in this game. So,
totally.
This game's very interesting. I agree. Chicago at Vegas. Obviously, Dave Montgomery is going to be out. He's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks. So Damian Williams, next man up. He's a little bit banged up, but he's off the injury report. He practiced in full with the quad injury. Damian Williams, I talked about this earlier in the week. He's not in terms of like backup running backs, I don't think he's Kareem Hunt, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, but he's probably in that next tier. He's talented. We've seen him produce. He probably should have won Super Bowl MVP a couple years ago. And yeah, that was the Chiefs offense, but this offense is not going to be top 10, probably not even be top 15. Maybe that's their ceiling. But with Justin Fields starting and with Bill Lazor calling plays, it's going to be better. And Damian Williams against the Raiders run defense, it just got destroyed by Austin Eckler. How much do we like him? Again, he was already priced because we expected and knew Montgomery would miss time. So it's not like he's 45. He's 5,600, which is about right. What do you think of Damian Williams in this game?
Yeah, I think it is about right. You know, he is interesting because he can, you know, we've seen him before in a role like this where he's, you know, he can catch three or four passes out of the backfield. Obviously, it was a much better offense in Kansas City. But I think, you know, I do believe he's going to get a bulk of the work here and a bulk of the touches. I kind of have him for 14 carries and then three or four targets in this game. You know, I'm not really sold on Vegas's defense at all. And their run defense, you know, I thought, you know, what Eckler did last week, I think Chicago, like not to that extent, but I think Chicago could do similar things with Damian Williams, and him to catch a few passes. He's not one of my favorite running backs, but at 5'6", you know, I'm curious to see his ownership when I get together with Kyle here later on today and we talk through this ownership. Like if he's anything above 10%, like I'll probably just avoid it.
If he's more popular than both Damian Harris and Fournette, I probably won't play much of him because I still I still prefer those two running backs. But yeah, he projects as a good player, right? 14 to 17 touches, you can kind of lock it in.
Yeah.
The passing game, Justin Fields is going to start, thank goodness. And it's not just this week. He's going to start going forward. Again, thank goodness. Surprise, surprise. You let Justin Fields throw the ball down the field and you let Bill Lazor call plays. And all of a sudden, Justin Fields does what he does, makes big time throws. He didn't have the touchdowns because they scored three rushing touchdowns and his interception was off a deflection. So I was really impressed by Justin Fields. Yeah, I was against Detroit, but what do you think of him here at 5,200? Like, they haven't used him on design runs or anything much at all, which is a little disappointing, but he was throwing the ball downfield. And Darnell Mooney, man.
Yeah.
Another receiver I was super high on. Finally comes to fruition. And I talked about it. This is what I was dreaming of all offseason, right? The Justin Fields connection on the deep ball to Darnell Mooney. And we saw it. Mooney had an 8 out of 18 yards last week. He had receptions of 31, I think 24 and 62 yards. What do you think of the passing game? And the question everybody is asking, can we trust Allen Robinson? Which sounds insane because he's been one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL the last 5-6 years.
I'd like to be in on the Robinson game before it happens, like just like Woods last night. Like you want to be in on that before like the price adjustment and people are in on it.
Can I also just say the Robert Woods game was like, it was so obvious. Like,
oh, I know.
It was so obvious he was going off.
They even told us that it was going to happen. Like, he even said it.
Did the same thing with Deshaun Jackson, and he broke out. Like,
yeah, exactly. The window's closed. The window's closed to get a little Robert Woods in your life, and the window may be closed after this week to get Allen Robinson. I mean, I'm willing, if I'm playing, you know, 10 lineups in tournaments, I'm willing to roll him out there. But I do believe Mooney is the guy in this offense. I think he's better suited for Justin Fields. I mean, he's got that deep arm, and that's going to be it. I mean, looking overall at our air yards, I was taking a look at this. I mean, Mooney pops, like, all over the place. You know, he's got the double-digit A dot. He's got 38% of his team's air yards, got a 28% target share. You mentioned the numbers last week, pretty strong for Mooney as well with Justin Fields under center. So I am I'm probably a little bit more interested in him. I don't know if I'm really getting to Fields. I just don't trust Nagy, man. Like, and that's it. It's that simple. It's not a cop out. I just don't trust him. He had months to prepare for a game plan for, you know, Justin Fields. Like, he couldn't have just drafted him and thought honestly that he was just going to roll with Dalton all year. Like, did not even drop like a few plays for Justin Fields. Like, they just put him in such a tough spot to succeed. I know it was against the Browns, but they didn't, like, one play in motion, two quarterback design runs, a little bit more last week, but still, I just don't think he's capable of playing to his strengths, and that's it. It's flat out. I just don't think he's a good coach to play to his strengths. So I think Fields is, I think he's fine. Like, would I be shocked if he gets to 20 DraftKings points? No. Like, I think he could get there, but I don't think I can roll him out. And I need to play more than 10 lineups. But if I am, you know, I definitely would take a shot with him and Mooney. But I just gotta cross him off my list, unfortunately.
anyone on the Raiders stand out? Darren Waller's obviously, you know what you're getting from him. They have been targeting Renfro and Ruggs more each week. Renfro's been really solid. Productive. I'm not playing Josh Jacobs. I don't even love Waller in this spot. Like, if you get to him, because tight end's really weak in general, but especially no Kelsey, no Mark Andrews on this slate, sure. But, Vegas not really popping for me on this slate.
No, I think Waller's fine. He's given a couple of floor games, recently, which is, that's nice to have at the tight end position, at least 7 targets in every game, 4 catches in every game, 50-plus yards in every game. So there's a decent floor there. I'm not really getting to anyone either. Like, there's guys with floors. Like, we just talked about Waller. I mean, we know the ceiling. Renfro's got that floor, too. He's been pretty solid this year, at least 5 grabs and 45 yards in every game. Ruggs, you get a deep shot from Ruggs. You get 2 deep shots from Ruggs every game, but it seems like he only hauls in one of them.
Yeah, one's underthrown and might lead to a pass interference call, and the other one's caught.
And the other one's caught. So, yeah, no, I don't think this will, I honestly think this could be just an ugly, ugly game. I do believe that the Raiders will turn to the run game moving forward here. There's some games that they can control. Jacobs is very game script dependent. Peyton Barber got hurt. Drake only had 1 touch. He had more touches in the punt return game than he did in the overall on the field.
It's a good thing they gave him like top 12 running back money to not give him the ball or play him. Even when Jacobs is out, like, Peyton Barber, you get 20 carries. Like.
Super strange. So Jacobs is a very risky play. Yeah, I'm not really getting to a lot of pieces in this game, dude.
All right, 3 games left. Cleveland at the Los Angeles. I almost said Clippers because I'm in basketball mode almost. Chargers. The Chargers run defense has been, it's, I don't want to say all year long because it's only been 4 weeks, but they've been a target of mine. And the Raiders offense last week just couldn't do anything. That took them like 5-6 drives to get a first down. I still think this is a great matchup. And again, Cleveland's rushing game as elite as it gets. 42% of the yards allowed by the Chargers this year has come via the run. Only the Eagles have allowed a higher rate of or higher percentage of yards via the run. Nick Chubb, I feel like most people have viewed Nick Chubb this year as a disappointment. I mean, I get it. He hasn't scored since week 2, and he still isn't catching passes, but he's been over 80 rushing yards in every game. He has 20 attempts in back-to-back games. I like going back to Chubb here, and I still think he can go to Kareem Hunt, too. Kareem Hunt's like the number 7 running back in fantasy right now. He's not just getting 5-6 catches, but he's getting like 10 to 14 carries. I honestly think you can play both in this game. Not in the same lineup, but just in general. Like, I think they're both firmly in play.
We know what Cleveland wants to do, right? And then, Baker's not 100%. And yeah, I'm with you.
That's a good point, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's dealing with the shoulder. I mean, it's not his throwing shoulder, but, he's been playing with it wrapped over the past couple weeks. He's going to play through that. But they want to run the football anyways. They just play at this slow pace. Chubb, I think, is a terrific play over on FanDuel. You mentioned at least 80 yards in every single game. I mean, he's 2nd in the NFL in rushing yards. And yeah, Kareem Hunt gets in there and gets a couple catches and steals a couple red zone rushing attempts. But that's why I think he's a good play, because he kind of comes, with a little bit of a lower ownership. I mean, 6-7 for a guy who's 2nd in the NFL in rushing yards with one of the best matchups this week. I mean, you talked about the Chargers. I don't think that they're a great run defense. Like, last week they played well, but I mean, they're 25th in rush DVOA. They've allowed the 4th most rushing yards, 5.3 yards per attempt. 4 runs of at least 20 yards is one off the league high. So Chubb is, what we know about Cleveland is the offensive line is terrific, and Chubb is an unbelievable runner. So if he's getting 14 to 15 carries, he's going to get to that 80-yard mark. And he's had a couple games with 20-plus carries. So it's not like he's phased out of this offense. You're just seeing the fantasy points and the touchdowns go to Kareem Hunt. I agree with you. I think they're both in play, but I really do like Chubb more so on FanDuel than DK. But I think on DK, even in this good spot against the Chargers, I think that he will go under-owned. I don't think people will be into him because of Hunt, just the fact that what he could take away from Chubb. But Chubb's going to get his, and he's going to, I think he gets to the 100-yard mark here this week.
I agree, and there's a lot of really talented players in this game, right? Odell Beckham, Justin Herbert, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I really only like the Cleveland running backs, though. Both these pass defenses have been really good, especially the Chargers. They're allowing the 2nd fewest fantasy points per game to receivers. Asante Samuel Jr. is the real deal. He shut down Amari Cooper a couple weeks ago. He did a great job last week again in coverage. Like, he's really good. Odell Beckham, yeah, the targets are there, but like Baker was so bad last week, and I wonder how much of that attributes to the shoulder injury. Like, I don't want to go there. And then Herbert's fine, but it's not the matchup that I'm looking for. There's other quarterbacks. Yeah, and then like Keenan Allen is 6,500. That seems cheap. He has double digit targets in three or four games. His lowest target total in a game this year is 8. He has not been being, he was not used downfield at all last game. If I were to play anybody else in this game, it would probably be Keenan Allen. I still think Mike Williams is awesome, but 7,200 for Mike Williams.
It's a lot.
Like, I'll just play, you know, looking elsewhere, like, I'll just get up to Terry McLaurin or Justin Jefferson or, you know, even Debo's in a better spot. So, I don't know. For me, it's really Cleveland running backs and maybe Keenan Allen, and that's it.
I agree. I think this is going to be, I think it's going to be a slow-paced game. I think both defense, like you said, I don't really have too much to add. I don't think we'll see a lot of points, have a lot of respect for these defenses. I don't think it's going to be the type of shootout, like, you know, that you would expect. Like, even last week when you watch Cleveland and you watch Minnesota, you think maybe some points, but all of a sudden, nine minutes are taken off the clock from one drive from Cleveland. Like, that's just kind of what they do. So I think it'll be a slow-paced game. I don't think either quarterback is going to really sling it in this game. Like, I like the weapons. Like you said, there's a lot of good pieces in this game, but I'm really just getting to Cleveland's running backs.
All right, two games left, the 4:25 games. This one's very interesting, could be very fun. San Francisco at the red-hot 4-0 Arizona Cardinals. We might have Trey Lance week. Jimmy Garoppolo has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday with a calf injury. Seems like it's going to be very tough for him to play. How popular is Trey Lance going to be? We saw what he did in a half of action, right? Wasn't the greatest performance in terms of just watching, but he had over 20 fantasy points because the Debo Samuel touchdown was really fluky. The Seahawks have said, I don't feel like covering him. 75 yards to the house, but 7 rushing attempts, 5 were scrambles. He had a design run on a 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals they give up so much rushing production to quarterbacks because they play a ton of man coverage and they blitz a lot. And when you play man coverage, the defender's backs return to the quarterback and just run and run. And we see that a lot with quarterbacks against the Cardinals. So Lance, they're probably going to have to chase points in this game. Pace should be good. Good matchup. Have to feel pretty good about Trey Lance as a really strong option. And I mean, I'll probably have him ranked. I forget where I have him ranked now, but he'll be close to top 12 for me in terms of overall quarterback rankings this week, assuming he starts.
I got him at 12 and I'm like battling with myself in one of my home leagues to play him or Kirk Cousins. Cause in leagues where I have Lance, I drafted Cousins because the schedule to start was so awesome. And I thought that the change could happen right around their bye, right in around now. I think Cousins is on a bye next week. And I was like, hopefully by this point, I'll be able to make this change. And now I'm like battling in my head about, because Cousins, I love the spot. And it's like Trey Lance's first game here. What do you do? But you're right. I mean, he didn't look good and he still ends up with 20 DraftKings points. Like, he didn't look good. He didn't. I mean, he had a couple touchdowns there and he ran a bit and there was some design runs like you alluded to, but he didn't overall look all that great. And I mean, Shanahan, not that he took shots on him, but he said after the game, it kind of went how I thought. He looked like a number two quarterback. And that's not what you want to hear from your head coach. You want to hear some positive things. Like, he did some okay things and we'll move forward with him next week. But it does seem like it's going to be Trey Lance season here as early as this weekend, which is exciting. It's a high total game. You know that Arizona is going to be able to score some points and they're going to be able to push the pace. And one of the big plays that he had the touchdown was just like blown coverage, right? I mean, he even underthrew Debo and Debo was able to, you know, take it to the house. But that's the kind of upside that he has. It's much like what we talked about with Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback with 1,100 passing yards and 200 rushing yards. Like, it's the dual threat. And the fact that, yeah, you're going to see some plays that he's going to overthrow guys and he's whipping them in there too hard. Like, he's still a rookie. He's going to make a lot of mistakes. But from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, the fact that he had 20 points in like basically a half looking as bad as he did, I mean, that is super appealing. So I will have a share or two, but don't you think he's going to be pretty popular? I mean, everyone likes Trey Lance.
Yeah, he'll be popular. If you are looking for a pivot in that range, Trevor Lawrence, 5,800. Yes. Burrow's only a couple hundred more. Heinicke, I think those are the three options I would look at.
Agree.
But the appeal is there, obviously, against Arizona. Like I talked about with how much they allow quarterbacks to run. If you're stacking, I mean, Debo's been clearly the guy. I was off Ayuk all offseason.
Yeah.
But it was mainly because he was being drafted too highly. It wasn't because I thought Debo would be this good and this much of a number one receiver for this team, but 13, 10, 8, and 12 targets. Matchup is pretty solid for Debo. Are you going back to Debo? By the way, George Kittle, you know, still dealing with the calf. He's in the same pattern that he was last week, and he still played. So, assuming he didn't suffer a setback, which I don't believe he did, I would expect George Kittle to play. And look, the targets have been there the last couple weeks. The routes have been up. 5,600 for George Kittle is pretty interesting as well.
It is, yeah, and it's a nice pivot because I think people will go up to Waller or they'll try to find some value like we've talked about throughout this show. So I think he'll kind of go – I think he'll go unowned a bit, and we know that his upside is certainly there. I love the fact that he's got 19 targets in his last 2 weeks, right? I know he's only reeled in 11 of them, but it's awesome to see because the first couple of weeks – it just wasn't the case. He was blocking, and I know he's not 100% healthy. He'll have that Q next to his name all weekend long, but it is interesting. I think I will go back to Debo. I think we'll see a lot of points here. As much as Lance could run around a little bit, Debo's on the field basically the entire time, and he's getting so many looks. I think he'll cool down at one point, but I'm going to ride this thing out with him.
It's also nice that he's being used down the field more than he has in the past, which adds everywhere. To the seal. Yeah, he's always going to get those, jet sweep touches and stuff, but he's being used down the field more too. Kyler Murray, play him. Kyler Murray has been great, and the last 2 weeks, touchdown variance didn't go his way because James Conner has 4 short yardage touchdowns the last 2 games, and yet Kyler still has had 23 fantasy points in both games, essentially. He's thrown for 300 yards and almost 3 of his 4 games. He went for 289 in week 1. The San Francisco is actually allowing a ton of rushing production to quarterbacks this season. I mean, they just gave up almost 30 rushing yards and a touchdown to Russell Wilson last week. 5th most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks this year. 7th most fantasy points per game to the position. I think Kyler, assuming Connor doesn't get 2 more touchdowns from inside the 5 again, I think Kyler has one of those 300-plus passing yard games and, like, 4 total touchdowns. I love Kyler here.
Yeah, he's now the favorite to win the MVP. We got that in the bet tracker at 23-1. He's now 6-1, 5-1 in some spots. Here's a stat for you that I saw. So there's been 4 teams since 1970 to have 30-plus points in each of their first four games to start and 400 total yards. And Arizona's one of the 4. You got Peyton Manning and the Broncos in 2013, who went to the Super Bowl and lost. You got Tom Brady in 2007, who went to the Super Bowl and lost. And then Rich Gannon in 2002, that went to the Super Bowl and lost. I don't know if Arizona's going to the Super Bowl or not, but that's historic.
But if they do, they're losing.
They're losing, right. But that is like pretty elite company, right, of offenses that were pretty freaking good, man. Like the Broncos, obviously we know about, the almost undefeated season from the Pats, but that's pretty strong, like 30-plus points and 400 total yards. He's got a 76% completion rate as number one, 10.5 yards per attempt. Like, that's like, elite. Like, that stuff may not continue moving forward. But, yeah, the sky's the limit for Kyler, man. It's his world. We're living in it. I love that guy.
What are we doing with the receivers? Because
what a mess.
DeAndre Hopkins is not seeing anywhere close to that 30-plus percent target share we saw last year. His season high in targets is 8. Kyler's spreading the ball around. I mean, A.J. Green, turns out he is not washed. He has literally 6 targets in every game. Christian Kirk's getting the downfield work. Rondale's getting targeted when he's on the field. Edmonds is getting a ton of targets. I know he's questionable off to the side in practice. I think he plays. It's weird. Like, I love Kyler. I don't think I have to necessarily say, okay, play DeAndre Hopkins with him or play whoever with him, because they're spreading it around so much.
Yeah, that's it. I think you could just play Kyler. I think you can fall into a trap of pairing him up with Hopkins or AJ. AJ's shown up the past couple of weeks. He had his first 100-yard game since 2018 a couple of weeks ago. Rondell has popped in one game. Kirk has had two big games and what, two busts, right? He's been boomer bust. Like, if you're following trends, you would feel like this would be the boom, but I wouldn't, you know, really go down that road. I think you can just play Kyler. Like, if you want to do one or two, I probably would lean with Hopkins. Maybe this could be a Hopkins week, but you're right. I mean, the targets are not there. Like 8, 4, 6, 7. He doesn't have a game with over six catches. Like, that one game happened in week one. I know he's not 100%. I think I'd just play Kyler because Chase Edmonds is getting in there and he's catching balls out of the backfield. So I think you're fine just to play Kyler.
All right, final game of the slate. Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. Got to keep an eye on the Giants receivers here. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton both didn't play last week with hamstring injuries. Both, I believe, were out of practice on Thursday, so it's going to be an uphill battle. I don't want to lead with Kadarius Toney when you have Saquon Barkley on the team, but Kadarius Toney finally became a thing last week, right? Caught 6 of his 9 targets for 78 yards, added a rush, and Toney was another player I loved coming out, and it looked like it was going to be a terrible call, but he's finally getting opportunities, and, dude, he just makes plays. It's a huge reason why I love him coming out of Florida. He forced 6 missed tackles in that Saints game alone. I mean, he's a absolute home run waiting to happen, and if Shepard and Slayton are out again against Dallas, who you think, okay, Trayvon Diggs has been playing elite at the cornerback position, probably going to be on Kenny Golladay. We've seen the secondary receiver against Dallas have plenty of success this season, right? I know DJ Moore a lot of his production came not against Diggs because they lined him up in the backfield and stuff last week. But like, we have seen these receivers. I mean, Mike Evans struggled in week one against Trayvon Diggs, who went off in that game. Chris Godwin and AB. The Eagles offense was really the tight ends. And then Dallas also played the Chargers. I think Diggs is actually on Keenan Allen more than Mike Williams in that game. Mike Williams went off. So there is an opportunity for 4K Kadarius Toney to present some value, and he sure enough was in my value article this week at FTNFantasy.com or FTNDaily.com, rather.
Yeah, I really like the way that they used him in that game, Toney. Like, for it was basically like just Shepard, right? Take Shepard away, take the name off the jersey. Is a guy who is just, you know, playing in the slot and getting a lot of targets and getting like 9 targets really for your first full game in the NFL. Pretty impressive, and 6 grabs. So I think this game is going to, I think we're going to see a ton of points in it. I really do on both sides. I think I like way too many pieces in this game, honestly.
Jason Garrett revenge game?
Jason Garrett revenge, my goodness. I like both backs. I mean, I like Zeke. I love what he's done over the past couple weeks. Saquon Barkley has looked his old self over the past couple weeks as well. Catching balls out of the backfield. He's got 11 grabs in his last 2 games. There's a lot of appealing options, dude, inside this game. I don't know where you're at with these running backs, but
I love Barkley.
Yeah, I like Saquon quite a bit. I think the Giants can keep this game pretty close. I know they're Dallas touchdown favorites here, but I think this game will be closer to a field goal game potentially. And I like Zeke too on the other side. I mean, it is a good matchup here, and everyone freaked out after the first week, but we've already talked about Tampa before, how you can't run on them. Why even bother trying? But over the past couple weeks, I mean, 16 for 71, 17 for 95, 20 for 143. He's got 4 touchdowns in those 3 games. He's not getting a lot of usage out of the backfield catching balls, but they're doing a good job with that offensive line, and they're moving the pocket. I've been really impressed with Dak and just controlling the offense and, you know, just taking advantage of what defenses are giving them. He's calling audibles at the line of scrimmage. Like, it's an impressive offense. They're going to score some points in this game, and I think the Giants can match. And if Dallas does score 25, 30 points, you know, that could, you could fall into more targets for a guy like Toney, for, you know, maybe Saquon gets 5 or 6 more targets out of the backfield. I wouldn't be shocked about that.
I mean, Shepard and Slayton both got hurt early in that Atlanta game, so it's essentially almost 2 games they've been out, right? Yep. And as a result, Barkley has 13 targets the last 2 games. And Dallas, they've actually been pretty good at, like, in terms of yards per carry and rushing touchdowns and stuff, but they are allowing the 3rd most targets per game to running backs and the most receptions per game to running backs at 8.3. So Barkley could have, even if he doesn't get it done on the ground, he could have 7, 8 catches in this game. So I love him in this spot. And yeah, you brought up such a great point with Dallas. And I think that's something that not everybody is aware of watching Dallas. They have gone very run heavy as of late. It's not, I mean, I'm sure Kellen Moore has a lot to do with it in terms of, like, you know, before the game meetings and analyzing their matchups and stuff. But I mean, it's a lot of it is Dak. I mean, the Eagles game, it was two single high safeties playing deep and Dak's checking at the line of scrimmage. Literally calling, you heard it on the Monday night broadcast. He checked to the audible was Bob Ross, and I think it was Brian Greasy on the broadcast said, I wonder if it's a draw, putting two and two together. And like, he's checking everything at the line, and Zeke and Pollard are just doing whatever. So that does worry me a little bit for the receivers for Dallas, because they're checking to the run so much and they're relying on the run so much because Zeke and Pollard have been unbelievable. So, like, if Dak is throwing 30 times or fewer and Dalton Schultz is more involved, Cooper and Lamb, they're both very cheap. I mean, 62 and 6,100, I'm fine with them, but it's interesting. And then Dalton Schultz at 4,400 seems expensive, but his snaps and routes finally started to separate from Blake Jarwin after last week. So I think it's interesting. The Giants are awful against tight ends.
Yeah, they are. He's a part of this offense, man. And I know a lot of people like Blake Jarwin, but it's Schultz who's ahead of him. 15 targets, 12 grabs in his last 2 weeks, getting looks where it matters inside the red zone. Yeah, he's been a big player since Michael Gallup has been sidelined. So there's a lot of different ways that you could go. You can game stack this with both backs. You can get involved with Schultz. You can get involved with on the other side with, you know, Lamb's coming off that dud game, but Cooper, I think I like Cooper a little bit more, but Lamb will probably come with a little bit lower ownership considering what we've seen from the Cowboys. I think that they continue to try to run the ball. I mean, they've had success now doing this, and you know, I think they're 4-11 when Dak throws over 40 times. It's not the recipe for success, and what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I think, is a trend that will continue, and that's kind of why I like Zeke so much. But man, this game is definitely appealing.
Listen, we are, I think week 6 is the beginning of bye week, so these DFS game-by-game episodes won't be
as long
as long as the Lord of the Rings series, but they're filled with great content and great analysis, especially when I have terrific guests like Chris Meany on, who you can follow on Twitter, at Chris Meany. Meany, before we get out of here, once again, plug everything that's coming up at FTN. I know you're getting ready for hockey season. And like I said, and we talked about before the episode, just a ton of great content, a great time to be a sports fan.
Yeah, it really is. We got everything there. I mean, NBA, like you said, NBA packages get in now if you're looking to be part of the FTN fam. I'm seeing people already win money in preseason action. I absolutely love it. Yeah, the puck drops in the NHL on the 12th, so just a couple days away. We have a fantasy hockey draft kit for anybody who's looking to draft this weekend. If you just want the kit, let me know. But we have an early bird special where you can have the draft kit, which you'll have it all year with rankings and waiver wire stuff, and also just some DFS stuff. You got the chat. But yeah, I mean, everything over at FTN. I mean, we're cooking, man. It's a great month, as you mentioned, with all the sports happening right now. Mean Streets 5 days a week, taking your questions. We're giving picks and props every day on the show. We've had some great guests like yourself come on and told everybody, don't buy low on Brandon Ayuk. And it's like, it's a pretty sharp play right there, Pfeiffer. So yeah, a lot happening over at FTN Fantasy. Yeah, if you have any questions at all, just you can always reach out at Chris Meany if you're looking to be part of that NHL draft kick guide, because we'll be giving some NHL picks here very soon, and hopefully we can have some success with that.
Yeah, I'm no Chris Meany, but here's my NHL advice for the day. Draft Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews and have fun.
Absolutely.
Those guys are good. It's crazy. Like, the future of the league is set, dude. Those guys are just going to dominate for years. It's pretty fun to watch. And I have been as tuned into hockey as I have been in the past. But yeah, you got to kind of, if you follow sports at all, you kind of have to be living under a rock to not see what those two have been doing the last couple years. So I'm excited to check out your hockey content. And again, get involved, get signed up. Again, get signed up at FTN Fantasy subscription. You can win a trip to Vegas to watch the Vegas Washington football game, and as well as a great overall trip. So appreciate all support. Have a great weekend. Best of luck in week number 5. We'll be back on Monday to recap everything that happens on Fade the Chalk, presented by the FTN Network. For Chris Meany, Adam Pfeiffer, have a great weekend. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.